The Seder. Today's daf is daf Lamed, and last time we got all the other Mishnah. So let's take being from there. Get Shiatsa mitachat ha-patish, you're hammering away and the sparks fly and the Yatsava Zikin causes damage. Chayev. That's also a part of the obligations, meaning you're chayev for that damage. Gamal shu ta'un pishtam. If you've got a camel that is carrying flax, over berushus harabim, and it's going with rushus harabim. Nichnasa pishtam al toch chanut. And the, it's some of this flax ends up, you know, it's all over the place, and it comes into the chanut and into the shop. And there was a candle in the shop at darka b'nirosh chanut b'liketa b'ira, and ends up causing so much fire and damage. Balach hagam al chayav. He is chayav for that damage. However, hanicha also, sorry, not however, also hanicha in chavani if the left shopkeeper at nero b'chutz. However, sorry, this is however, if he leaves it outside, then well the shopkeeper left the hazard on the street, which is his fire. So therefore, hachin bani chayav. And famously, Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, benero shel Chanukah patur. If he left it outside, then he is patur. The Gemara will discuss this. So let's start the Gemara. Get shiatza mitachat hapatish. The Gemara says, Tani Rabbi Udan bener Chanukah patur mipnei shehu reshut. Now mipnei shehu reshut means that it's a reshut mitzvah. He's allowed to leave it there. So since the Baal HaChanukah is allowed to leave it there, it's not responsible if, you know, things catch fire on it. The Chacharim says no. Benkach or Benkach, whether it's he put out a regular candle outside, which is a hazard, or even a Chanukah candle, that is also a hazard. He would be chayev, according to Chachamim. Kugon elu shehen osim sukkot bepitchei chanotaihem b'chag. You place a sukkah. Some people, you know, people put these sukkahs on their house. Or for example, you know, when people put these shops, they might put a sukkah on the outside their shop, for example, a restaurant or something like that. It says then, well, you can't mipneishu reshut. They're allowed to. In other words, we don't tell them to take it down. So I'll just show you the Korbanetis says, you know, the kugon elin shem rasha'in lasut sukkot. They're allowed to make the sukkot in front of their chanuyot shelahem b'chag during sukkos. Minim shem reshut mit le mitzvah. However, the ein mocheh biad ein mochim biad. Sorry, we don't stop him. Mikol makom nonetheless, uba acher vuzak bein chayev. Just because you're allowed to put it there doesn't mean you're not responsible for the damage it will cause. Interestingly, in other words, they won't stop. They won't tell you to dismantle the sukkah, or they'll give you what I call a two week notice to dismantle it. Nonetheless, if any damage is caused, you're responsible. So you can have that balance. Yes, I'm allowed to put it there and dismantle it, but you've got to be careful for it. So therefore, so too, the Chachamim say, you're allowed, it's a mitzvah, you put your Chanukah candles outside. But if it causes damage, well, you're chai for the damage it causes. That's the Chachamim. Now, Hadran Alach, Perak HaKonet Tzon Ladir, Hadran Alach, Perak HaKonet Tzon Ladir, Hadran Alach, Perak HaKonet Tzon Ladir. Let's begin the next Perak. Meruba Midat, it's not Perak HaMura. Meruba Midat Tashlumei Kefel, Mimidat HaTashlumei Arba V'Chamisha. So this is what we're saying here. We find the scope of a penalty of paying double, that's of a ganav, someone who stole in secret, and he has to pay back double, that you'll find the scope of that is broader than the chiyuv to pay arba v'chamisha. Arba v'chamisha is based on the pasuk, which is ki ignov ish shor oseh, if someone steals a ox or a sheep, v'tevacho u'mecharo, and he either slaughters it or sells it, chamisha b'bakari shalem tachat ashor, rabatzon tachat aseh. That he has to pay not double but fivefold altogether for the fact that he stole and slaughtered or stole and sold on the bakar, and it will be fourfold for the seh. So in other words, once again, the law, the scope of kefil is much broader than that of arba chamisha. Why? Shemidat hakefil comes to kefil. You find the penalty of kefil applies whether it's a creature or not. It could even apply to any stolen items. Right, even movable. We'll discuss exactly not any stolen items. Gemara's going to restrict that soon, but much more broadly, it doesn't have to be a living creature per se. Umidat tashem acham b'chamisha noheged ella b'shor b'seh b'lvad. Shenem as it says ki ganov ish shor oseh. So when it comes to the penalty of 4 or 5, that's only literally an ox or a sheep that was stolen. Specifically, those two animals. Then it says eino ganev achar ganam mashlem tunre kefel. If someone steals from someone who stole, he doesn't pay double. V'lo ha-toveach v'lo ha-mocher achar ha-ganav meshlem tov shel mekefel tov shel mi'arba v'chamisha. And also, if can't shecht after shechtim, but it says v'lo toveach mocher achar ha-ganav meshlem. In other words, if he took something somebody else stole and then sold it and shechted it, he wouldn't have to pay tov shel mi'arba v'chamisha. That's the Mishnah. Let's learn the Gemara. Now the Gemara says, "Murubami minan teitile." Where do we know this din from that we learned in the Mishnah? In other words, one understanding is the Mafuda says it can include all manners of animal, because the Torah, the pasuk just says about shor v'chamor. Okay, but we'll get to that in a second. The Gemara says, because it says be'im himatzeh timatzeh biyado hagneva b'shor ad chamor ad seh v'chogomer. Ainli ela shor v'chamor v'seh, it's only those animals. Kishua says, Kishua mer chayim, in other words, ad shor ad seh, it says next word is chayim ishalem shnayim. That's the pasuk again by Geneva, not this penalty of four and five. That comes to include all manners of bali chayim, larabot kol bali chayim. Then it says, Hagneva, all these ribuim in the pasuk, is going to be, in other words, imatzebu hagneva, that's what I bought even the metaltalin. Now the Gemara says, one second, lama shor v'chamor v'seh. Why do we actually mention all three? Im devar shesh bo hanaya lemizbeach nitni shor v'seh. If you're talking about only things that can be offered as a korban, it's because it's talking about those things, then maybe, then it wouldn't include the chamor. Now, in the also the Dahar inserts an extra line here, but I'm not going to insert it because it doesn't seem the Mefarshim relate to it. So Tani Rabbi Shmuel, so all these, if you like, miyutim, all these extra shor, chamor, or seh, things like that seems to be, it sounds like yatsu excludes other things. Yatsu karkaot she'in metaltlin, it excludes land, which, now how do you steal land, how do you steal land? The way the Marfold explains, for example, if you move your border, you're actually physically stealing someone else's land, right? You shift your fence over, and you know, I spoke to a lawyer neighbor of mine is dealing with a very long case of machlok between neighbors, where it's like a fraction amount of land that their machlok is over that he moved his fence or not. Apparently, the legal fees is many, many magnitudes more than that little block of land, but that's unfortunately sometimes there's Hilchot Shchanim and there's also Sechel Shchanim. There's two different parashiyot, I think. Anyway, fine. So that's how you could steal land. Or maybe something Mechubala Karaka as well. Somehow you steal something that was attached to the ground. That's the way he explains it anyway. Fine. So in that situation, if it's found out and in his court and et cetera, yeah, it doesn't have to pay back double. Okay. Yatsu also excludes Avadim. She'ein lacha bahem ela tashmish, and yetzu shtarot she'ein bahem ela re'iyah. Oh, raya, sorry. Okay, meaning shtar doesn't itself have any financial matter itself. It's just a proof that is able to, if you like, it's a document that proves one's ownership. You can extract money with it, but it has no financial value and it's on its own. Okay, but let's go back to the other miut. The other miut was yetzu avim she'ein bahem ela tashmish. That all you can do is use them. So if someone steals someone's Eved, doesn't pay kefal. The problem is we know when it comes to that might apply to Eved Ivri, but Eved Kanani, it says gufo kanoilo. So what does it mean? Tashmish. So the way the Mar pardon me, the way the Mar Fulder explains it, says v'lo yadati ma bayelafuke. I don't understand what this is trying to say, Ela Tashmish. I mean, only could even work. Im lamar she'en bahem ela shimosh l'chudeh, you can only use it for work. Ve'en gufam kan olecha, you don't own if you like the body. Kamo ha'pratut she'gufan kan olecha. Not sure what that expression is. Hari avadim knanim gnami gufo. What about Evan Knani? Va'kochech la'avadim knanim ma'edle. Kamo she'itza b'bavli. Clearly, the Bavli also is ma'ed Evan Knani. So what does it mean? Ein lachem ela shimush. So it says, "V'nira de ba lafukish ein lo bahem ela tashmish mechayim lafukish ein bahem b'motam." Meaning, it's not like, for example, owning an animal that even if it dies, you have ownership of the carcass. In other words, it's still a limited. Adam asuba. In other words, when a person dies, it's completely asu ana. He has no ownership of the knani. Eved knani. That's kind of the miut. Another understanding I saw. I think I don't. The art scroll mentioned this, but I didn't see. I can't remember where he got it from. Maybe in Asugya, is that yes, you may own even an Eved Kanani, but there are halachas that give him preferential treatment, that protect his rights, if you like, as an Eved, and you can't do whatever you like with him. So that's what it means in Enem Shimush, said there. So that's how we ma'ed from Kefel
Well,
Karaka.
it can't be an avid Yehudi, because if you do, then it's like kidnapping charge, right? And
Yes.
for that you have miso.
Ah, yeah, fair, yeah, fair, yeah, fair. So, in other words, you're saying if it was stuck on eved, yeah,
If it's an
fair,
evident ivri, then you got a serious problem. Besides,
then in other words, you don't need a pasuk to teach you your pater from kefel. Yeah, fair. So it has to be talking. That's a further raya. Very good. So you're saying it has to be talking about eved kenani because that every would be pater raman anyway because kimelim rabbanit. Yeah, fair. Okay, very good. So yeah, so we might karka evadim and shtarot from kefel. Now, Rabbi Baal says, "Asha lama lo tinde shemida teshlumi kefil no hege b'tuen tanagav." Why didn't he mention another thing? That midat that teshlumi kefil applies in a case of tuen tanagav. That means if someone was looking after an item, and he claims it was stolen, but he really kept it himself, and he makes a shvuah, then he would have to pay kefil. Okay, that's when tuen tanagav. But you don't see, and that's a special pasuk on the Torah that teaches this is. And you don't find that before by Abra Chamishav. Again, the person who's trusted with it and goes off and sells, he doesn't pay four and five. That's another thing that's different. Sim b'shutafin, masha ein ken b'Abra Chamishav. So two business partners, you can have Tashlumi Kefil if he steals his share, but not for Abra Chamishav. But the Mara Fulda says here it was actually actually very interesting. He says Vashas in the middle of Dramachil b'shutafin. Vashas lo mashli klum. There's no answer. The Gemara doesn't answer this. Alzer de lo chash. Why? Because you don't need to answer. Could appreciate de lo, which is in the previous amud. Well, we didn't look inside, but de lo ayre ele beganav ve lo betuen tanakav. Because we're only talking about actual physical. The Yerushalmi is only talking about differences in the Mishnah of actual real theft, not other implications of kefil when you claim it was stolen, where it's called passive theft or something. I don't know exactly how you term it. Aval bebavli de ayre betuen tanakav. But the bavli that has a much broader scope in its understanding of the Mishnah. Lafichach, that's why the Bavli has a whole other Mahalach HaSugya, which is it's Tana B'Shiyer. Sometimes you have to prove that there's something else missing from the list to prove that it wasn't a conclusive list or comprehensive list, sorry. But the according to Yerushalmi, it's like, okay, you asked a question, but it's not really a good question, so we're not going to even bother addressing it. Okay, let's continue. Tani, yes. Vigonev v'beit ish. So there's a different malach direction you can take this sugya. The Pnei Moshe takes it one way. He says "V'lomi beit isha" is more of a question. But what I think the easiest, simplest one is the Ridbaz. He's very like short. But then I'll show you the Maror because that's what we generally go by. It says Tani. In other words, it seems to be that when it says "V'gonev beit isha," stolen from a man's house, ish usually is mamat isha. So what is mamat isha for? So the way the Ribbaz read that first says, for example, nechzei melog shel ha'isha, not that her house, but rather you steal from, say, the nechzei melog. This is a property that she brings into the marriage for which the husband is allowed to enjoy the peirot, but is not responsible, if you like, for any fluctuations in prices. If the divorce, she gets that say property back. That's nechzei melog. And so in that situation, we'd say if the nechzei melog is stolen, that's a special mir of the Torah. That's the way the Gemara is explaining it now, that you're not chayv to pay kefil for that. However, the Gemara asks, Kol atzmo eino katov re'ehu ela b'sho'el v'tei mahachi. So the Ribbaz says, B'tmiya, ha'bal b'nechzei ishto, the husband who is looking after who is allowed to use the property, the nechzei melog of his wife, he's defined as a sho'el. And a sho'el, and because it's shop v'shapir karin and re'eu, and therefore, if someone steals from this nechze malog, it's not considered nechze isha, if you like. It's considered stealing from re'eu, if you like, from his friend, which is from the ish, who is like the shoal, who's like the owner, and therefore should be careful. So, what are you talking about? That's like the kasha. That's the malach hasugah of the Ridbaz, that it attempts to mamayev isha and eventually rejects it. Okay, but. Yeah, we've got plenty of time today, actually. So let me go through it now with the Mara Fulda. It's quite a long piece, but it's worthwhile. Let's have a look. Here from here, v'ganav beit ha'isha, meaning because it's mi beit re'ei. Sorry, it says v'gonev v'gunav. Sorry, it's pasuk. It's v'gunav, no kedah. V'gunav mi beit ish ha'ish. That's mi beit. It's good. Should have said mi beit re'ei. Havalele memra. Kamosha katuv kedah ish re'ei kesef kelim nishmar. Elsewhere it says, if someone's entrusted with something, it says language of Re'ehu. Suddenly here, B'gneiver, it says, Ish. V'gneiver beit Ish, haynu ha-shomer, that's the person looking after. V'lama k'tiv Ish v'lo Re'ehu, k'mo sh'kadu b'tchilat ha-mikra, like the beginning of Pasuk, v'k'ten Ish el-Re'ehu is a Pasuk, and it says, V'gneiver beit ha-Ish. So the Pasuk itself transitioned from Re'ehu to Ish. Says Ela Shabala Maetz Velo Mi Beit Ha'isha. For example, Im Natani Shapikadon, if something was entrusted in the property, in the possession of this Isha, and it was stolen, Vigunami Mena Ptura Mishvua Pikadon, she doesn't have to make a Shvua Pikadon. So it's a special, if you like, Vechen Rav Hagai, Harav Haigaon. So in other words, Velo Mi Beit Isha seems to be, if you like, a conclusion, ending point, finished. According to Marfulda, if a woman is entrusted with a Pikadon and it's stolen, that's a special meal. She doesn't have to make a Shvua Pikadon. Okay. Ah, how do you then understand the continuation? So here we have to understand what the Marafulda says. He says, he says, wait, there's a lot of background we have to understand for this next line. That if it's mibet ish comes to exclude beit shoel, in other words, not like the Ridbaz, it's assumed beit shoel yechayev, absolutely opposite. The beginning seems to the brighter seems to suggest that if you're gonna have a beit shoel, you wouldn't pay this kefil. Umakshe hashas sham, umar v'gone mi beit ha'ish v'lo mi beit nose sachar v'socher. In other words, would you say the same thing by a nose sachar v'socher? Umashi no taman kevan sheshmirato alav kemisha haya alav. What's that mean? Since a shoel is completely chayiv for geneva veda and all responsibility whatsoever with respect to this thing taken in his care. Also chayiv in geneva veda. In other words, why are you exempting in the case of kefil for a shoel and not for nosa sachar v'socher? Nosa sachar is a paid guardian and a socher is someone who rents it. Umashni, the answer is, that the shmir of the Baalim is on them, meaning as if the Baalim are over them. The Karina beta ish beta Baalim, as if the Baalim is still connected. Why that is, we'll explain in a minute. Meaning, it's almost like with a socher nosa sacher, so the Baalim, it sounds like they were almost like appointed, so there's still a kesher connected to the original owners. So that's why when it's if you steal from us, if someone steals from us socher nosa sachar on socher, it's considered as if it's still mi beit ha'baalim, and that's why it pay kefil. However, when it comes to a shoel, no, the person says kind of borrowed. He says fine, it wasn't mamido ala shomer alav. That's what it sounds like. Therefore, kulam hasheinu beit ha'baalim. That's why the Gemara then continues lachen hikshe. Now, okay, so you're saying a shoel's excluded from the parasha of kefil. Lechen hikshe hachat hatana atzmo latana dahatam. Tana, this Tana is makshon atana. Ha'achef shalom et v'lo mi beit ha'shoel. How could you do that? Shrei kol atzmanin kevrei ehu ba'balim shu chayv lishava la'balim. In other words, im lo shalach yadav malechet rei ehu. The whole term rei ehu applies that's the din that he has to make a shvua. And that whole pasuk is referring to a shoel. So the term re'ehu, which we see in this very pasuk, is a term that applies to who? A pasuk that applies to a shoel. So how can you say the ish is coming to mamayda shoel when the beginning of the pasuk also uses this term re'ehu? Shma milam shabalim re'ehu v'tei ma'achi. So v'heyach atzah rotze lamet shoel bina shvua. Okay. And then he continues and explains, etc., etc. Okay, so it seems to be, according to the, he continues being more proof for this point, but it seems to be that what he's saying is the Mahalach HaSugya, according to the Marafulda, it's Ma'isha, or it is Mema'et Isha, and then it brings a Kasha on the attempt to Mema'et Sho'el. Okay, that's the two lines in that Gemara. Yafe. Now, the Gemara continues. Back to the quote of the Mishnah, Eina goneva achar gona meshalem tashlumi kefel, v'lo mocher achar haganav meshalem tashlumi arba v'chamisha. That's what we saw in the Mishnah. Now, I've got an extra few lines inserted here. I'm not sure if you have it, because I didn't check in the Oz V'Hadar, but we're going to skip those two lines, because again, the Mefarshim don't relate to them. So let's have a look. Ganav v'nignegva mimeno. Let's say Reuven had something, Shimon stole it, then Levi stole it from Shimon. Okay, the tafsur balim, and the balim come, meaning Reuven goes to Levi, the second ganav, and says, "You stole my item." Venishman, Levi says, "I don't know what you're talking about." And made a shvur. And then what happened is, if he makes a shvur falsely, which he did, And then comes back later, he would have to bring a korban. Well, let's have a see. Let's normally, let's say in the case of a shvuah pikkudon, you have something, it's mine, and the person denies and makes a shvuah and lies in a shvuah, and he wants to shvuah, and he comes back, he has to bring a korban. Okay? Shvuah pikkudon. Now, but the question is, do we have a shvuah pikkudon in this case, where the Baalim went to Levi? Reuven went all the way to Levi and made him. It says, in Tamar, in Motzi min Hasheni, eino mevi korban shvuah. Did I speak it? I missed the line. In tema motzi min hasheni mevi korban al shvuah. In tema ein motzi min hasheni ein mevi korban shvuah. Which means if you say that the Baalim, in other words, who's the din with the Baalim? When the Baalim want their money back, meaning Reuven, who's his din with? Who's his court case? Who does it claim against? Is it against Shimon or is it against Levi? If it's against Shimon, his whole financial dispute is only with Shimon. Then the fact that he went to Levi now and Levi made a shvuah, well, that he wouldn't be Levi wouldn't have had to pay directly to Reuven anyway. Second gana back to the owner doesn't have to pay anyway, because at the end of the day, the whole din, if you like, is owned by Reuven and Shimon, owner and first gana. So by making a shvuah, he didn't patter him from anything. Now, a shvuah pikadon is only, you only chayv to bring a korban in case of shvuah pikadon if you were exempting yourself from any financial obligation. So in this case, if you say the Reuven's din is only with Shimon and not with Levi, when Levi made a shvuah, it was for no reason whatsoever. Okay? So therefore, he wouldn't have to bring a korban. However, if you say that Reuven can go straight to Levi, you can go take Levi straight to court that ends with Levi, then when Levi made this false shvuah, he indeed exempted himself from the financial obligation, so he would have to bring a korban. That's the way. That's the tutzdadim here. Because the question is, who's the din with? Is the original owner with the first ganav or with the second ganav? And has implication. For example, the second, if the owner went and grabs the second ganav, and he says, "I don't know what you're talking about. I made a shvuah," whether it be chayav a korban shvuah when he wants to do shvuah, a korban, korban hasham. Hashem Gzeilot, it's called. Now, next case. Ganav v'nignav v'nimlach hasheni lachzir. Okay, same story. Shimon stole from Reuven, then Levi came and stole from Shimon. But Shimon feels like he wants to do tshuva. Who should he return it to? In teimei yachzir labalim, if you want to say, just return us back to Reuven, let's be done with it. Pamim she'ein modim leganav. Shimon might not know that the whole story is the circle is closed and everything's been returned. What's wrong with that? There's two ways to understand this. One understanding is, according to the Bnei Moshe, is that what could happen that Levi's will return the item back to Reuven, but Reuven will go to and but Reuven will and Shimon wasn't aware that it was stolen. Shimon's the first ganav. And Reuven's now going to go to Shimon and say, "You stole my whatever it was, return it." And he's going to try and double dip now, okay, or triple dip. Well, actually, let's go back a step. He'll try and get kefil from Reuven, and he'll end up making more money out of it. But another understanding, by the way, is the Rav Fulda. I'm not sure exactly what he means. He says, in other words, "Pam she'im modim la'balim leganav shuchzal legneva," if everything's been returned. And the whole din the din between the Levi and Shimon is not over with. The second ganav and the first ganav is not finished yet. Okay, meaning what? That there's he might claim it from him. I'm not exactly sure. Okay, next. However, if you want to say in tame yachzor leganav, if you want to say that Levi should return to Shimon second ganav to first ganav, pamim she'ein modim labalim, that the balim won't know about it. So what's wrong with that? Well, two understandings. Let's have a look again. According to, let's go Mara Fulda first, that if you return it to Ganav number one, Ganav number one will say, "Thank you very much," and that'll be the end of the story. The owners will never get their item back. That's clearly a problem. But I'll show you here. In tam yachzir leganav arishon sheganav mimeno. This is Pnei Moshe. Nami in takana. That's not good. That again, Shimon won't say it was returned to him. Now it might be that there were witnesses that Shimon stole it, so the Baalim financially won't lose out. Meaning the Baalim, Reuven, will still get his double pay back from the fact that Shimon stole from him. But nonetheless, but really, what are the owner? What it can't be, it's brilliant what Pinochet says. In other words, at the end of the day, what was, if like finance, the financial loss will be paid back. But if we return, meaning a levy returns a stolen item, let's say the I don't know, the brand fancy, the fancy watch, it might be that this watch has a particular value. Let's say it's worth $1,000. So then, yes, Reuven will come to Shimon and say, you owe me, well, not $1,000, you owe me $2,000. You're a ganav. And he'll pay him the $2,000. But had he known the watch was returned back, what would have happened? He would have got his watch back plus the $1,000. And what does the owner really prefer? He wants his watch back much more, sentimental value, whatever it is. He wants the watch back rather than just getting that being paid off. So that's why it's saying if you end up returning it back to the ganav rishon, then according to Moshe, the owner will still end up losing out, even if the financially all the money is returned, because he's much far prefers to have the item that was stolen from him actually physically returned. Okay, so then what do we do in that situation if Levi wants to do tshuva, he wants to return it? It says here simply what we just organize a little meeting if they have coffee together or whatever it is, and Levi will return it to Reuven straight back to him in Shimon's presence, so everyone knows the whole story is completed. Okay, I'll just start the Mishnah, but we'll probably start the Mishnah again next year. It says, Ganav al pishnayim v'tavach u'machar al pihem. So two witnesses witness the fact someone stole and then slaughtered or sold it. Then, and those are the same witnesses, all pishnayim achirim, or two witnesses stole, saw the theft, and the other another set of witnesses saw the actual, the fact that it was sold on or slaughtered. Nonetheless, both situations, it doesn't need to be the same witness as a witness that witnessed the entire story. You'd have to be Abba Chamisha. What happens? Ganavu Bachar b'Shabbat. Stole on Shabbos, and he sold on Shabbos. Now, the assumption here is there was no Chilul Shabbos as a result. Actually, Malacha. Otherwise, he'd be Chayev Mita. Ganavu Machar l'Avodah Zarah, or he sold it for Avodah Zarah, not Shechted, because that would be a capital offense. Tavach machar b'Yom Kippurim, or he slaughtered or sold it on Yom Kippur. Maybe it's sort of kar, but not mita. Ganav mishel aviv v'tavach machar v'achakach metav. And the father then died. This is a case we'll probably start next year. And just the final one, ganav v'tavach machar v'achakach hikdish. If he sold it and then was makdishet, then mishelim. Still, all these cases is nothing to stop us paying arba v'chamisha. Okay, but you know we'll stop here. I know we're in the middle of Mishnah, but then we'll end up going halfway down Amud. Okay, so we'll stop here. So have a good Shabbos. Call to everyone.